Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some people told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, there are greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. For those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And he told them this parable. There was once a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. When he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
To understand fully today's readings from Sacred Scripture, we have to remember yesterday's. Yesterday, Jesus was talking about reading the signs of the times and making peace along the journey of life, peace with God and peace with others. There's a particular urgency necessary to do that. That's where today's gospel picks up. Some people in the crowd, understanding what Jesus was meaning, that listen, death is an inevitable thing in the future, just as much as there's going to be another rainstorm. Relationship with God is something that's supposed to be here today, not procrastinated. Otherwise, it would be like going out anticipating everything is going to be a sunny day when the rain's going to come. He was calling us to the type of prudence that Baruch was calling us to in this morning's first reading from the Office of Readings. They immediately brought up the case of that tragedy when Pilate, trying to build a water system in the temple area with temple money, that was the issue, got a protest, and in response to the protest sent his soldiers out, and they had massacred many, mixing their blood with the blood of the sacrificed animals. So Jesus uses that current event as a lesson. Do you think that these Galileans suffered in this way because they were greater sinners than all Galileans? No way. Likewise, he brought up another example. People were in and around the Tower of Siloam, close to where the Pool of Siloam was, and the tower fell, and 18 people died. Do you think that they were all greater sinners than those in Jerusalem? He asks. No way. He draws the same conclusion from both. If you do not repent, you'll all perish as they did. This was not a punishment in either case. There's just a reality that many die without knowing that that's going to be the day. And so the question is, how do you prepare for that reality? You can't put it off. You have to read the signs of the time. People perish like this regularly. And so Jesus is giving this as a thing of mercy so that nobody be caught unaware. What are we supposed to be doing if we're reading the signs of the times adequately? If we're not going to be caught by surprise? He describes it in the second part of this reading. Jesus immediately gives a parable, which has been called the parable of the second chance. It's a barren fig tree. Takes 3 years for a fig to bear fruit. If it doesn't bear fruit on the fourth year, it won't. For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none, so cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil? It's an image that everybody would have understood. But Jesus in the parable says, leave it for this year, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. Otherwise, you can cut it down. He's going to fertilize the soil with his own blood. He's going to nourish it with his own body. But the real way that we're going to make sure we're not caught unawares is when we're pondering the fruit. It's when we're trying now, not later, to be fruitful in the faith. That's what leads us to today's first reading. It's the Holy Spirit who is the principle of spiritual fruitfulness. Cooperation with what God is doing within is that means. If we're doing that today, we will not be caught unaware. Because the more we are focused on God, the more we're going to long to see his face eternally and be ready for that encounter. Yesterday, you remember how that passage from St. Paul finished. It was all about concupiscence. The good I want to do, I don't do. The evil I want to avoid, I don't avoid. And he asked that plaintive question at the end, who will deliver me from this mortal body? And he immediately starts with thanksgiving. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He knows that God's going to free him from that body leading him to death. And he immediately picks up here with life according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh are concerned with the things of the flesh. They're all leading people downward toward death. But those who live according to the Spirit with the things of the Spirit, the concern of the Spirit is life and peace. You are in the Spirit. If only God, the Spirit of God, dwells in you. If Christ is in you, although the body is dead, who will free me from this mortal body? Although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of Christ, because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the same one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through a Spirit that dwells in you. The whole 8th chapter of the letter of the Romans, which is one of the most important chapters in the Bible, is the answer to that question, who will deliver us from this mortal body? Who will help us to produce fruit? Who will help us not be caught unawares? Because life, according to the Holy Spirit, lives consciously in God's presence. So that's what we need. But who teaches? Today we're celebrating a votive mass of Mary, guide and teacher in the Holy Spirit. She was the one who teaches what life according to the Holy Spirit looks like. Overshadowed by the Holy Spirit at the Annunciation, she never tried to escape from that shadow. She was the one who, during those days preparing for Pentecost, taught the early Christians how to receive and respond to that incredible gift. And we know the fruitfulness that the Holy Spirit produces. St. Paul describes that in the 5th chapter of the letter to the Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit, he says, contrasts to the works of the flesh. The works are totally our own. The fruit is a cooperation between two principles. As anybody who knows anything about botany or reproduction, even invertebrates, knows, male and a female principle, two working together. There's cooperation, and that's what happens in producing the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit comes and he finds good soil in us. And together that cooperation produces love, joy, peace, kindness, self-control, patience, peace. All that St. Paul describes. That's what Jesus is looking for. So today Jesus is about to fertilize our soil so that we might bear precisely this type of fruitfulness in a life of the Holy Spirit, which will bring us fully alive.